Well, I mean, for the present time, I'm sure she'll be back at it, but she's, as soon as she gets back, she's, I tell her she's not, you know, taking a calmer approach.
Well, what's the motto of the Western world have to say for himself these days?
Well, just that, he'll...
Same old story.
Rest until he feels better.
Yeah, until I feel better, which means 45 minutes.
I'm glad to see him at least taking some time off. I hope he can hold on a second, Steve.
Well...
Can you hold on a second?
Sure.
Say leads a large group of people for a particular cause has that. I don't know if that's a necessary element of their character.
No, but I think it's incumbent. I think it's incumbent in society. I think it's something that's deeply ingrained in the society, and I think it does affect people in society. There's a feeling that if you, and it is a Christian kind of thing, that if you want to succeed, you have to sacrifice, and what you have to sacrifice ultimately is yourself, and it's straight out of the Gospels, and it's a direct line message, and may not assert itself overtly, but it does assert itself very strongly in a lot of different areas. So it's not a judgmental thing, it's just a, I mean, I'm not saying it's wrong, I'm just saying that it's true.
No. I'm
telling you that I do it, but
yeah,
no, you know.
No, I'm interested in the psychology of it. Yeah. Something that interests me. What makes people tick?
Well, because you have to live for something. I mean, the only thing that makes life worthwhile is living for something.
Yeah.
And living for something, and for the same thing that you do, and Jim does, and the people around there do, and I do it my own way.
Yeah, sure.
Is for a better society and a better life. And if you kill yourself for it, what the hell? I mean, you have to die for something. And if you die for something, it's really much worth doing than dying for nothing.
Yeah.
At least you've done, at least you're worth, your life has been worthwhile because you've done something or tried to do something. And it validates your life. It makes it worthwhile. I mean, I don't want to get off into pop psychology particularly here, but what I think it is a factor.
Yeah.
And the hard message to get across is that you do more by doing less. The longer you survive, the better. And I told Katie the other day, I said I needed to judge my lecture about surviving, and I felt like a fucking hypocrite, you know?
Yeah.
In the same way.
Yeah.
But it's the same lecture my friends give me, you know, which is, you gotta take care of yourself. You can't work, 15 hours a day.
Right.
Yeah, that the work will be there and it will be there tomorrow. But you can't do it all one day.
Did you ever say anything about going out?
Well, I did. I said I was going to, you know, take him to dinner. He sort of chuckled about it. But I'll tell you this on the phone. I did, primarily because it sounded so awfully tired. I mean, I've never heard him sound so really worn out.
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, just, you know, I was going count to dinner, maybe I will, but you know, you, I'm not sure I could do it, but I just want to tell you that I really think you really have to get away, you really should go away, you want to go to Vienna, which is the best you can hope for him, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, well, he was very agreeable, I mean, he sounded terribly beat up, I mean, just completely worn out.
Yeah.
And he said, well, I think you're right, and know that the jungle air, you know, revives me and it's good for me to do it. He said, I'll go in 2 weeks. That's what he said.
In 2 weeks?
That's what he said.
How long ago was that you talked?
That was Monday, I think I talked. It was past Monday. That's what he said. He was sort of concerned about his daughter.
Yeah.
And he said, in 2 weeks I'll go. And I didn't see any reason to jump up and down about it one way or the other. I mean, he said he would, so he sort of, you know, neutralized whatever argument that I was prepared to muster. I mean, he said he'd do it, so you have to take, you know, you have to take his word for it if he says he'd do it. But I wasn't terrifically surprised, because when I talked to him on the phone, he said that, like, oh God, something awful. You know, he really sounded completely worn out, just completely dragging. He didn't have that spark, that little thing that he always has, you know, even when, yeah, he can tell when he's tired, but even when he's tired, he has that little spark.
Yeah.
And it wasn't there, I mean, it just completely sounded completely...
Well, that's something really...
Blipped.
That's something really get concerned.
Yeah, it wasn't there, I mean, he just, and I was inclined to believe it was true. I, you know, as I said, you know, I should have known he would have resisted, but he sounded so completely, devastated that he didn't resist at all. He was very...
a little to resist with at that point.
Huh?
He probably had little will to resist.
Well, yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah, he sounded just so completely worn out, certainly. You know, it's just kind of, you know, beat up on people when they're, you know, they sound absolutely tired and exhausted. To do this, take care of yourself, be good to yourself, love you, want you to do these things. Me, you know, when somebody's coming, comes across at least as being on the ropes, if he sends himself, then, you know, punch him out. You know, you support him. But I did talk to him about going to the beginning. He said, well, he said, you're absolutely right. You should do it. Well, he's a very warm factionist.
I saw the, bumped into the mayor tonight. And he said the same thing. He said he's got, he says, tell him not to worry. Just get him.
Get out of hell out of there. For, the best you can hope for with him is to get him to Vienna. He won't, you know, you can never get him to the meditation per se. But at least there, and he says it works for him, and I'm inclined to believe it's true. He says the jungle there does something. I don't know, Katie and I were talking about Marcy, how much, you know, whether Marcy could, you know, intervene. And I said I didn't know anything, so.
What is she, what?
Could intervene, and I said I really didn't think so. I don't know well enough. You know, she could get him to go, you know, just say, come on, we're going.
Yeah. Boy, she could use it herself.
Yeah. I'm sure she could, yeah. That's what I told Jenny. You know, they're two of a kind, you know. She pushes herself as hard as he does in a way, and I don't think that, you know, that she could have the...
She was involved in all that post-street convalescent hassle over there.
Mm-hmm.
She was kicked out and had to go in with some court order or something. And they're having all the problems. Well, they still are, I guess.
Yeah, they still are. Well, they're up the creek, they're going to get it. Of course, you just trying to hold them off.
Those places are too much. All
yeah,
the campuses don't buy businesses. Just wanting to get a profit out of it and don't have a level of care. It really is. It's like, it's a crime what we do to our seniors.
Oh, yeah, sure. It's a brutal society. It's incredibly brutal.
It's crazy.
But is it going to change in a week or 2 weeks? You're up, well, I don't have to tell you, but you have to gear up for the long run because you're not going to snap your fingers and make a change.
This is... See, you need to be around this place for a couple of days and through the night to really understand what it's like. We're crisis oriented here, necessarily.
Well, I can intuit it, Michael. I'm fairly bright man. I've been around. I can intuit it a lot, but the point, which you understand, but we can't make our friend understand, is that it goes on, with or without you, it goes on. It will to go on. You know, 100 years from now, it will still be going on.
The problem is that he won't say no.
I know.
When he's confronted with the problem.
Well, that's charming as hell.
Yeah. He won't say no.
Well, I think it's up to you guys to run around him.
Hell, when we ran out of space for rehabilitation work, he took people into his home.
Oh,
they gave up their bedroom.
That's our boy, yeah. No, that's fine. That's wonderful. I mean, it doesn't surprise me at all. I think it's absolutely wonderful. But on the other hand, he's going to take care of himself so that he can do that 2 years from now. You know, he's in a prime, I don't know about you, but we're all in a prime heart attack period, which is 38 to 45.
Yeah.
In which they're usually fatal. And it's very important. You know, I'm giving lectures about it. I get these lectures from my friends. I do it better than he does, but I don't know how I'm doing. That you gotta step around. What am I doing? I'm preaching to you, you're converted. The problem is to get back to
you. Well, your language helps. I'll look for anything I can get to use as ammunition. But, so what do you do on weekends? Like, you just sit around and relax, or you go places?
What do I do on weekends?
Yeah.
Depends on the weekend. Usually I don't do anything.
I'm asking for selfish reasons.
Mm-hmm. Usually I don't do anything. Usually by the end of the week I'm so exhausted that I don't do. But what I try and do more and more lately is get away, get out of town. The change of scenery is terribly important.
Doesn't that tire you?
What? Leaving?
No, change of scenery.
How did you travel? I took a plane, I go to LA, for a couple weeks back to Reno. Fell in love with Nevada. Beautiful land.
No, it's not time.
It's very dark, isn't it? And you have to think about it. Okay. A change of scenery is terribly important, because even if you stay in the city, you don't shake. Even if it's presumably you're not working, but of course you're in the city, you know, it's not the same. The problems stay with you. When you get away, you have a tendency to see them in a different perspective and they don't look as
awesome as they do when you're on top of them all the time.
Yeah.
That's one piece of advice about being a follower. Yeah, it's very good for you just to get away. Even if it's for 2 days, but the change of scenery is amazing. It really does have a marvelous effect.
What a rat race.
What
a rat race you've been.
Well, but when you get away from it, you mean to see it in perspective. You mean to realize what the potential is and what the reality is. And
you
see yourself more clearly. I mean, you get so involved in your problems that you can't see them.
Yeah.
And you have to be able to step back and look at them.
Yeah.
And for me, on the advice of my friends, and it is, and having done it, I know it's true, for me it's to get out of the city. And just have the change of scenery give you a better perspective, even if it's for 2 days. Just get a better perspective. I think when we talk about the mystique of Yana, that's really what we're talking about. Is being away from the fucking Fillmore and the, you know, day in, day out thing. Go in there and day after day get hit by a ton of bricks. And it seems like the whole world's a ton of bricks, but it really isn't. I mean, it is, but it isn't. It is, but you can handle it. If you step back and look at it, you can see.
So where are you going this weekend?
No, I'm here. I have a friend from New York with me, so...
Oh.
I'll be here for a week. No, I'm doing all right. I'm a lot better than I used to. But I understand, you know, the thing, because I'm cut from the same cloth. I'm your basic workaholic.
I kind of remember the days when I worked and tried to kill two birds with one stone on the weekend. And, you know, if I'd go up to the mountains of Reno or wherever, I'd cover a story at the same time.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
No. Didn't work.
It's nice to think that it does, but let's face it, we're not young anymore. I mean, we're not kids anymore. We
you know what the amazing thing was? The amazing thing was that I did it. Basically, it was an easy way to get a buck, but I didn't need it. I mean,
that's the workaholic syndrome, that's one of them.
Yeah. Plus, I don't know, that the value system I had then, about not wanting to pass up a chance to, you know, make some money, it's just... something that,
well, you know, you live your change.
Yeah.
Not allowed.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to keep you as your company, but, thank you for your concern. And, I'll let you know how things go.
Yeah, let's go ahead and book them.
Yeah. I think so.
I think you can get away with it. She'll scream and yell for about 20 minutes, but I think she'll get away with it.
Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and do it then.
I mean, it's unsolicited advice, you didn't ask, but
right.
I have a feeling you'll get away with it. I think he'll resist you for about 20 minutes and then he'll do it. If you just go ahead and do it, he might check with Marcy, I'm sure she'll go along with it. Maybe she'll go with him, what the hell.
Yeah.
But I think it might not be a bad idea to go ahead and do it. And present it to them as a fait accompli and let them protest.
Yeah.
which he will do, which is fine, that's part of all, and you know, that's role playing, and try to line up some support, and
marshal the troops.
Yeah, why not?
And then hit him with them.
Well, you know, present it to him, and then let him scream and yell, and then hit him with the, the loyal or organized front that everyone here says, you know, we really think you should, and we've got everything under control, and we've taken all these precautions, and if anything really comes up that's terribly important, we'll call you on the radio, and you shouldn't worry, and nothing's really going to happen, you know. We've got it, you know, under control here, and we're only talking 2 weeks, which is, you know, not the end of the world.
Right.
And if anything really comes up that we think is, you know, that we can't handle, we'll certainly turn to you and call you on the radio, and you can tell us what to do when we think we can handle it.
So if he knows
we
won't call
him, do that, huh?
He knows we won't call him, though. He knows we'll just...
Well, it's a lie. I mean,
Well, he'll be on the radio over there, and he'll call and say, okay, what's going on? Yeah, tell me about, and he'll somehow get it out,
Well, it's a lie. You're not playing a terrifically straight game here, and he would understand that.
Yeah.
Well, you do play a certain role.
It's definitely the best plan I've heard so far, so I'm going to go with it, I think.
Yeah, but talk to Marcy because you need her support.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe have a go with her, man.
Yeah, definitely.
And line up, you know, United Front. If I were doing it, I'd hit him with it head on myself and then be prepared to wheel up the reserves shortly thereafter.
Sounds like
a screaming yell, kick and holler, but I think he'll do it.
Yeah.
I think he knows in his heart you're right, and he'll do it if you present it to him right, and I think he can do that. I think he knows you're right, and he'll appreciate it even though he'll say he won't.
I think it's the best game plan. Maybe, I think it, if you don't mind, I'd like to have you call possibly if it would serve. May not need to, but I think it would have its effect, Steve.
Well, I was going to call, but I thought, well, you know.
Well,
I didn't want to bother him when he
said
I don't want to.
Well, this would be kind of a strategic time. This would come at a strategic time. I'd let you know when to call. Just to check in on him and then suggest it again.
I'll call him or they'll work on me and tell me what.
Yeah, may not have to, but I think it could make the difference. If he's wavering.
Well, Jesus, if he doesn't know by now. No, I'm not saying I won't, because I will, but
see, he's heard this from us for a long time.
Yeah.
He needs to hear it from an outsider in somebody he respects, and that's you.
All right, fine.
That's
tell
you.
Me when I'll do it.
Okay, if I may not have to, but I don't want to bother you with that.
You don't know, it's my pleasure.
Okay, I'll let you know.
That there's going to be a whole lands of the Fresno, around the Fresno area, that will not produce one thing. And if we don't have any water, we will have no food whatsoever next year, so it's good that you're getting ahead of the thing. It's a very wise idea. I hate to think what will happen to we who are minorities when there's a fight over food. When you see those...
You know it. You know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, we do know.
We know. But, you know, when you mentioned it, I was thinking we need, Jim, we need some expertise, you know. We're working with some farm workers, some campesinos, a joint effort between Chicano and Indian people up there.
Beautiful.
And maybe maybe we should get together and
where is that location of that land exactly?
It's up in Sacramento Valley. It's near Davis.
Good ground. It's good ground. Well, we might, unfortunately, a host, hello?
Hello?
A host of our farm worker, we got, 27,000 acres in the middle of the jungle.
Uh-huh.
Because we've been working with the South American native,
uh-huh.
And they're delightful people. Fortunately, where we're at in Guyana, they've developed a socialist kind of cooperative, and the Indians, the American native, the South American native, are being treated with some dignity. But in Brazil,
uh-huh.
There's an actual genocidal pattern towards, just like they did here.
Uh-huh.
Only it's more severe today than it was than it is in America, but it's about like it was 100 years ago when they wiped out after California became a state, and they wiped out nearly all of our population of Native Americans. But many of our farm experts are there because we see the whole Northern Hemisphere in some trouble. We're going to stay here and fight. Some of us will stay here and fight till we die. But I don't like facing all of our children and seniors. I feel it's kind of a responsibility if you're going to be any kind of a pastor, as the old scripture says, take care of the household of your faith and meet the necessities of your members. So that old parable sort of haunts me, and all our people are happy in that jungle setting. They are really happy. And we're growing everything that you grow in America, plus, oh my God, so many things I can't even enumerate, 200 different crops. We've got coffee growing, we've got all sorts of citrus, we've got tea, we even got a tree that makes the most delicious ice cream from the product of it into a homemade variety. I've never ate ice cream in a delicatessen that tastes like that. But in the time of emergency, there's room for you and your tribes. We've got 27,000 acres, just 12 miles long, 7 miles wide. You know the land we got.
I'm like going out of there now.
The government, I know the temptation. The government gave us a permanent lifetime leasehold with no taxes. We produced it. We went in and produced it for 2 years, and we so impressed them that they gave us a lifetime leasehold with no taxes.
Government, the Prime Minister gave Jim a reception when we were there just at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, a special reception for me, and that's unheard of for them to do that for foreigners. They've really been turned off by some
because
of the
success.
But the perfect amalgamation of the Amerindians, as they call them, and the Chinese, it's six different racial groups living in harmony. Contrary to the stupid press, they never glorify what other nations are doing to amalgamate and really, really have an inclusive society. But the black, the East Indian, the Amerindian, the Portuguese, there are some Mexicans that have come, Chicanos that have come over to settle. And in our community, where we are in the real out Northwest District, really out in primitive nature, we are mostly surrounded with Amerindian. And we've included them in our society. We've adopted babies. We're totally, there's about 200 of our members, over 200 of our members there. They've intermarried within the Amerindian society. We've adopted children within the Amerindian society. It's just beautiful. It's just fantastic. Sometime maybe you'll get a chance to see it. But talk to us on what you need. We still got a few farm experts. Some of the black people know the earth, like our people have known them. Somebody must be very anxious about our lines. But touch base with us. We may just have the expertise because we're still quite large,
uh-huh.
And we'll be glad to help any way we can.
Okay.
And good luck to you, man, and thanks for all you've done for the people.
Well, it's really good to be in this work because with CISO and yourself.
Yeah.
Myself. It's good when we can. We'll fight them together.
It's true. And that Yvonne Golden, boy, there is a beautiful, beautiful soul. She will always put her actions, her body, where her mouth is.
We're looking for a caterpillar. Do you know where we could put it for to use one for about?
Well, now we might. We sent ours over there. Of course, we got three or four. We got four over there now. But we might be able to know where you could. We'll look around.
Okay.
Yes.
What?
Would you mind giving Lee a call, tell him that you chatted with Jim and I, and you know, what the conversation was, and see if he can, the sooner, you know, we could get a hold of that, we could move on that thing, those letters. If I could give you an address that he could send them to?
I sure will.
Okay.
I'll check off. I'm due to go on a radio broadcast. I'll check off.
Okay.
Much to you, my friend.
Pleasure talking to you again, Tim.
And mutual. It's mutual. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. It'd be Post Office Box 15157.
15157.
Right. San Francisco.
San Francisco.
94115.
94115.
And just send it to my attention.
Okay.
Mike Prokes, and last name is spelled P-R-O-K-E-S.
P-R-O-K-E-S. Yeah.
People's number.
Right.
And we can get to work on that. And then I don't know if you're in communication with Cecil or what about the other thing, but I guess we could discuss that later, depending, you know, what we find out about the letter.
Okay.
So, okay, man.
We'll get back to, it should be, let me call him right away, and then I'll tell him what happened.
Thanks so much.
All right.
Take care.
Okay, man.
Call if you need anything. And appreciate what you're doing.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
We did very well with Overtone.